Hello, welcome back to the Finer Things Club, where we discuss our favorite books in a very civilized way. My name is Zoe Banaja, I'm your host, and I'm here today with Patrick and Lane. Say hi, guys.
Hey. Hi.
Today, we are talking about Captain Marvel, the comic book series. Would you call it a series?
I mean, this is a collection.
Collection. Yeah. We're looking at a collection of Captain Marvel comic books, and obviously Captain Marvel is a part of the Marvel Universe, which everyone and their mama knows about because of the movies. But before we get into that, I would like to hear any book recommendations from Lane.
I'm just going to talk about the book I'm reading right now because that's the only one I can think about.
Okay.
It's called Yoga and the Path of the Urban Mystic, and it's basically about like yoga spiritual practices and the basically like asanas of yoga, so different variations of it, when it was developed, what the spiritual practice looks like, and how we can use it in our modern world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
What about you, Pat?
The one I want to recommend is called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F.
That's so
that
funny.
That was the book I recommended last week.
Oh, okay.
Patrick doesn't want to listen to my show. But that's...
My bad.
Did you read it yet?
I have read it, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. I found it very insightful.
Now
if I have to recommend...
How many Fs do you give?
Now I give...
We don't cuss on the show.
None. No Fs.
No Fs from Pat.
Because of this book. It's taught me so many things.
It's a really good book.
If I had to recommend another book besides that one, I would recommend the Big Orange Splot. It's a children's book. It's about a seagull that drops a can of paint on a man's house in an otherwise very ordinary neighborhood and causes everybody in the neighborhood to paint their houses in fun, wacky styles.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Nice.
I'm going to read that one.
Yeah. You should read it aloud on the show one day. I'm sure it's beautiful. So we're going to get right into Captain Marvel, which covers three different types of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And Patrick is going to give us a summary of the collection that we read for those of you at home who have not...
Not read it,
or just need a refresher.
Yeah.
I need a refresher.
Yeah, me too, kind of.
You know?
I watched the movie
there was a
before
lot
and then after.
On. Like, a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. I think there's 10 or 12 comics in this collection.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Marvel Platinum Captain Marvel collection, which was released shortly before the movie came out, so I was thinking that this would be, like, the most relevant collection of comics.
I was interested to see, like, what they chose. But yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Okay, so it starts out with the original Captain Marvel, who is Mar-Vell, and he comes to Earth basically to battle this Sentinel that was left here by the Kree thousands of years ago, and then, like...
Which are his people.
Yep. So, but, like, so he's coming to fight the humans because the Sentinel's been awoken, basically, and he shows up and then accidentally crashes into a pilot and kills the guy. Happens to look a lot like him, so he just immediately assumes his identity and works at NASA, and then decides that he likes people and kind of rebels against his own race and decides to stick around and become Captain Marvel. Because he just realizes that Mar-Vell sounds too alien, so when he's writing his name on a document, he puts Marvel instead. Wow. It's pretty out there.
That's where it all began.
Yeah.
Good job, Stan.
So then Carol Danvers is working as the head of security at NASA. That's how she and him meet originally. And she doesn't end up getting her powers until later on, which isn't featured in the collection, but... Apparently,
they do a flashback.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So apparently, like, Yon Rogg, who is, like, the evil other Kree guy
who like hates him for no reason. He's just like,
he wants his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm going to kill him.
Sweet for
him. Yeah, exactly. I love like the whole like old timey like.
The humor and the language that was like charming.
Yeah. My favorite line in the whole comic series is like Captain Marvel, or it's Miss Marvel, when she comes and in her first intro scene, she's like trying to fight some bad guys. They're bank robbers. Yeah. And one of the robbers is like, oh, what's this? What's going on here? And the other guy is like, he goes, this is New York, you bozo. Ain't you never seen a superhero before? I really like this, like, this world where like, okay, yeah, there's superheroes. Like, we gotta deal with it.
Yeah.
So then, where were we?
So Yon-Rogg is like this other Kree. So him and Mar-Vell come to Earth, and they're like two of the only officer type Kree on the ship, and everybody else is kind of just like a dumb minion, except for Una.
She's a medic, right?
Yeah, she's a crying medic, like,
yeah,
romantic interest.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Star Trek type situation, but they're like the only main crew, and then everybody else is like red shirts. So I don't know if that reference lands or not, but
nobody has heard of Star Trek anymore.
But anyways, Yon-Rogg basically dumps Mar-Vell on Earth to kill him because he's thinking like this Sentinel is basically just gonna. I want him dead. This is gonna do the trick. Anyways, Carol Danvers ends up getting her powers when Yon-Rogg comes back to Earth, I guess, to fight Mar-Vell, and they blow up something, and it like kind of infuses her with Kree powers.
Yeah,
it was like the psych
magnetron.
Yes, and it like it blew up when she crashed into it, and the powers from that went into her.
Exactly, but it didn't seem. In the movie, I don't know if we want to do that yet.
Well, we'll get into the movie later in the podcast.
But then you find out later that she was already Kree-born. And then,
was she?
Yes. She was already
Kree.
Ooh,
I missed that.
Yeah, I read all the, like, things on the back where they tell you about, like, their powers and stuff. And in that, it made more sense because she's already Kree. And running into that only, like, magnetized the power that was already in her.
Wow.
So she already had special powers. She's not human.
Okay. And she was really interesting, too, because she's, like, when she gets her powers, she's doing this thing where she's, like, she doesn't know that she's Miss Marvel.
Amnesiatic.
Yeah, she just, like, passes out and, like, wakes up in bed and was like, what happened? And then,
It's Mary Jane, Peter Parker's girlfriend.
Yeah, Mary Jane. I was like, oh, okay.
Shows up to try and help her figure it out.
Yeah.
And then also she's, like, dating, or she has this therapist guy who's, like, it's fun because it's kind of a gender swap version of their normal
roles.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's, like, a writer now. She quit her job as a security officer.
At NASA.
Yeah.
To become a successful
writer.
Yeah.
But her career, I guess, has been, like, destroyed by these blackouts that she's been having. And
she can't figure out what's going on.
Right. Because Carol Danvers just blacks out. And then Miss Marvel appears, and they don't know that they are the same person. So Miss Marvel will just show up anytime there's, like, shit going down and goes and saves the bank or like...
Right. And then something happens at one point where their two personalities, like, mesh.
Merge.
But I can't remember what that event
she just,
was.
Like, went to the cave where she got...
Did she get hypnotized by her boyfriend, the therapist?
Yeah, he doesn't, like...
But he doesn't tell her, remember?
Yeah, but he doesn't tell her.
Oh, yeah. But he does reveal it to her later, though.
Yeah, but she already knows. He like, said it... Whatever. He, like, said it in a way...
Your trouble is just beginning.
She's like, oh, my God. Like, if she hadn't figured it out, that would have been so ominous. Like, she's like, I just figured out that I'm Miss Marvel, but, like, if not, this phone call would have been really weird.
You're really creepy.
And then, so yeah, she fights crime, and then,
They're, like, concurrently alive, though.
Yeah.
Like, she's not Captain Marvel. She's Ms. Marvel, just like, honoring the Mar-Vell tradition of the character, I guess.
It's not until after he dies that she takes on his name, right?
Yeah. So then, yeah, Captain Marvel dies.
She dies of
from
cancer.
Right.
I was like, this is so human.
That was an interesting issue because it's like a different art style than pretty much any of the other ones. And it pulls
I
in so many
issue.
Of these like really
I screenshotted there. My favorite part where they were like, oh. She weeps and he joins her. Oh. I was like, oh.
It's, you know, I'll post it on my Instagram for those of you guys who want to see.
I was reading this and I was like, he's dying of cancer. There's nothing they can do. He's so heartbroken by this.
Yeah.
So then Captain Marvel dies of cancer. Everyone's like super bummed. And then
actually start to find out a lot more about his convoluted backstory in this issue. Like, he has this special connection with an Earth guy named Rick Jones.
Rick Jones!
Who is Rick Jones?
He loved Rick Jones so much, and Rick Jones was so mad when he's like, I have cancer, and I feel like you might have cancer too, because one time he's like, one time we shared the same body or something.
Spiritually. In limbo. Right, so somehow in his adventures, he ends up in the negative zone, which is like another universe. That's like just the negative version of our universe, I suppose. And he has these wristlets on. And then on Earth, Rick Jones, who's just this like Earth teenager with no powers, finds his own pair of these bracelets. And when he bangs them together, they swap places for only an hour, which seems to be like a limitation that they like to impose. Yeah. But then, so Rick Jones ends up joining the Avengers, I guess.
What's his power?
He's just like gets powers. Friends with them.
Yeah.
Well, he's just like.
But he does
popular.
End up getting his own powers. Like, at the end of their adventures together, I forget what the name of the thing is, but it basically gives him the power of complete omnipotence.
Okay.
So he can, like, oversee anything in the universe that's happening anywhere.
I wonder who Rick Jones.
Because they call him at one point and they're like, Rick! Yeah. We need you.
And he plays the guitar. He's like, hey guys, I wonder who he's based off of. He sounds like he's someone's
just,
from.
He left to pursue Rick his Astley. Musical career. I was like, of course he did. Good old Rick.
Rick's busy, guys.
I don't know. That was a really weird bit that they added in.
That was funny.
He gets like really bent out of shape over the fact that Captain Marvel's gonna die and tries to like get the Avengers to try and figure out how to cure cancer.
And like, then all the Avengers are like, wow, we're such jerks for never, considering curing cancer before. We should have been jerks.
They said that. They were like, we've been wasting time here on Earth. Like,
we're all geniuses, and we never even tried to cure cancer.
Okay, so then Monica Rambeau is the third of the Captain Marvels that's introduced. And
understand her at all.
It doesn't seem like she's related
at all.
The whole thing is pretty weird. She's on this mission. She ends up, going to this oil rig out in the Gulf of Mexico and, with this other dude to
some
try
old
and
man
go
who just
undercover.
Showed up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she, gets there and is, wearing a bikini.
Right,
and
she, flashes the ship and she's like, hey, guys.
I want to tan up here. The old general who used to run this oil rig would let me tan here all the time. They're all skeezy and they're like, yeah, get up here.
Right.
And then her, partner blows her cover almost.
Yeah, she was like,
within,
stay
like,
here.
Seconds.
And
he's
was
I'm sorry.
And so then she decides to, destroy the thing.
She punched it. I thought that was really funny. She's like a human woman, and she's like, I know how I will, stop these evil people. I'm gonna punch this wall of wires,
But it worked. Yeah. She doesn't really realize what her powers are at first, and it's very confusing what they are. It's like she can turn into all different types of radiation.
Yeah, she, meets the Avengers, and they're pals, except for Spider-Man. Spider-Man is like, she's beautiful, but I don't trust her.
Yeah.
Well, Why does everyone hate on Spider-Man?
Yeah.
He's such a punk, I guess. But
they're Spider-Man's here.
he's really young, and I don't know.
Yeah, and then they have this weird, the last episodes were with Miss, the last
issues
are with Miss Marvel.
Yeah,
and
it's more modern.
Yeah.
It's kind of about the Skrulls. There's, a Skrull that's impersonating her.
And the Skrulls are the aliens
that can...
Shapeshift.
Exactly. So she comes back to Earth to try and, intervene, because there's this one that's copied her. And then, it kind of gets away, and she ends up, just really wanting to have sex with this, other character.
And how she's, trying really hard to feel confident about herself, because she doesn't know who she is or what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It, takes her a while to figure it out.
And then the last issue is, pretty recent. It's, 2016?
Mm-hmm.
And Captain America's you should become you should be Captain. You should be Captain Marvel, not Miss Marvel. Yeah. And she has basically this flashback.
Her to take the name.
Captain yeah.
And that Marvel. She like deserves it. Yeah. That she's come into her powers.
And then she's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take the name. I'm taking the damn name." Well, that is what was in this Captain Marvel collection, and be right back after this break. Okay, we are back. I want to jump in and ask you two, what do you think? I think it's a little more difficult because, like, usually we cover novels on the show, and I've never read comics before, but yeah. I assume, because it's storytelling, that, like, the author, or authors in this case, have, like, something that they're trying to relay to the readers that is bigger than just the plot. So what is this story about in the sense that, like, what are the authors trying to tell us?
I don't know, because I feel like with a lot of the Marvel heroes, they're kind of built around more normal human issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Mar-Vell is very alien, but, like, it seems like the way they grounded him was through... Do you remember specifically?
Kind of through cancer, though, too. I mean, they do deal with... I don't know, I felt like there was a lot of moments where they brought it back to the reader. As a, like, say if I was a young kid reading these, I'd be like, oh, my grandpa died of cancer. Like, mm-hmm. they relate it back to things that, like, a kid might be learning. They relate it back to, like, self-discovery, kind of figuring out what your role is, and also this idea that everyone wants to be a hero, everyone wants to be, like, great.
Mm-hmm.
But that even the superheroes have human problems.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about in the end that Mrs. Marvel is, like, an alcoholic at one point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's really weird that they decided to even say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they are trying to make it relatable, and I think that they're trying to say that you can be a superhero and also have these, like, human issues because
right.
it's normal and everyone has them.
Yeah.
And we all are trying to figure out our place in the universe.
Yeah.
Marvel, in general, has this whole thing of, like, fighting for the right side, even
yeah.
if you, like, were brought onto you. Like,
right.
he decided to
doing
go...
Doing the hard thing.
Yeah.
Because
to go
it's
against
morally right.
his side.
Right.
Because he's like, well...
Yeah,
I'm not gonna do the wrong thing just because I was born on the wrong side.
Right. That's
and the way
really
that I think they illustrate that was through J. Jonah Jameson.
Who?
Yeah.
The, like, newspaper editor.
Oh, is that the bring me Spider-Man?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He shows up.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
He shows up and is, like, very misogynistic towards her, but she, like, is able, he basically is like,
she doesn't let him though, which is cool.
Yeah,
she's basically like, whatever, screw you.
She gets hired to write or edit this women's magazine
called Woman.
Yeah. And she's fully in charge of it, so she's, like, able to back talk him and, like, sass her way into just whatever she wants to do. But
doesn't
then,
he say he wants, like, recipes and, like, fashion?
Yeah,
and
she's like,
not
she's
about
funny.
That.
She's like, no, I'm gonna go hard hitting, like, intense reporting.
Yeah.
And then she ends up saving him as Ms. Marvel. So it's, like, exactly the Spider-Man setup, basically, where he's, like, a dick to Peter at work, and then...
She,
like,
Peter works
him.
There, too.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, what up?
Yeah, but she doesn't know... I think she maybe does know that he's Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, I think those are what I would say the authors are trying to, like, impose upon us thematically.
Yeah. I definitely think there's, like, a sense of, like, female empowerment throughout the whole Miss Marvel run.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It is true. I mean, I guess that I don't have the benefit of, like, having read other of the
comics,
but it seems pretty, like, considering when they were written, like, I think it was probably pretty revolutionary to have these characters, like, be female, especially, the third Captain Marvel, she is black.
Yeah.
And I think, when did that come out? Like,
I want to say the 70s.
Like in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it kind of has like that whole like, ha, like, you know, the kind of movie that's like, you can't fight me, like, you know, yeah. Mamma Jamma, like those kind of movies.
That
has,
that's exactly what they were going for.
I mean, that's what it says too. They were like really trying to court, take it in a different direction. And
yeah.
They decided to make it a black character.
So that's, you mean, that's pretty cool.
They were trying to do cool things that yeah. were thinking outside the box and going against really what like was in mainstream media.
Right. Especially
1982.
Yeah.
Nice.
And especially like in the first version of Captain Marvel, like our female character is Una, who's like, you know, she's like, I'm a very like distinguished like doctor, but also like I'm crying all the time, like
yeah.
she always has like that tear on her face
always.
Like, she's taking my love. But you know, then to contrast against that, in the next like issue in the collection, it's Captain or Miss Marvel, and she's like, you know, this strong character
yeah.
who is the hero.
Yeah.
So it's, like, cool to see, I guess, both of those. Like, because, I mean, yeah, I'm talking smack about Una, but she, you know.
She does end up helping him out at one point.
She dies, though.
She does.
Women in the refrigerator. I read that article.
Fridging?
Yeah.
What?
There is, this is a bad summary of it, but it's, like, this idea, because, like, there was a comic book where...
So it's just a narrative thing. When a male character needs a motivation, it's a lazy way to do it, is they, like,
oh, put a woman in... Yeah.
A refrigerator. And it came literally from a story in which the female character was, like, shoved in a refrigerator,
fridge.
And she died. And, like, that male character got to be like, no! And now he's, like, going through a dark phase, and he, like... grows as a character because of this sad thing that happened to him.
Yeah.
I thought that they explored like a range of emotions though too for all the characters in the comics, which I liked. They weren't always confident in themselves. They ranged.
Yeah.
Sometimes they were sad, sometimes they were like, sometimes Miss Marvel doesn't feel like she's worthy of being a superhero. She doesn't want to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the whole last issue was her grappling with whether or not she deserved to take the Captain Marvel mantle.
Right. I liked that they show her like sad, angry, happy, confident.
Yeah.
In all these different ways instead of like one quintessential
like, I'm a hero.
Female role.
Yeah.
And hero role.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
It was cool to see the like history of it over time, that like back in the 70s or whatever when she first was appearing, like it was probably really big for the time to have her be empowered and that all that, but then like seeing the more modern issues where she actually has nuanced inner thoughts and
yeah.
like a struggle that's more than just like, oh man, the men in my life are really making things difficult, like
yeah
was
she has
was
real
cool.
world problems.
Yeah, exactly. And that they, like, brought her back around, and she stuck around.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, where do you think this collection succeeds for you as a reader?
Succeeds?
Yeah. What did you enjoy about it?
I thought it was, like, a fun glimpse into the various, like, iterations that existed. Because, I mean, you don't get, like, a whole lot of any one of them. You just kind of get a taste of each of them. It felt like it gave you a good, like, general picture of who Captain Marvel has been. And, like, even in the back of the thing, there's, like, a very in-depth guide to, like, how each Captain Marvel got to where they are and
mm-hmm.
everything.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
I guess I will read it after the show. Because I'm, like, missing out on some information here.
It was very, like, succinct summary of how things went. And then I personally enjoyed the little graphs that show you, like, what their powers are, how strong they are in certain things.
Yeah.
Like in a
and
video
then,
game.
Like, yeah, like in a video game. And then where they were born, like, different names they went by, all sorts of different information
cute.
That was about, like I said, their height and their weight, which was always interesting, like, to see what people perceive in a comic book, like, you know, what people's height and weight is. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because
then you look at the character and you're like, oh, he's a big man.
More successes for you, Lane?
I found the humor and the way that they write kind of what they're thinking and then also what they're saying to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get the same thing that you would in like a TV show or even a novel where they explain all of it very in depth in a lot of words. But I found it nice that they give you little blimps of this is what they're thinking, this is what they're saying, and then the little notes at the bottom of...
Like, this is where it fits in.
Like, this is where it fits into the story. And I liked the way that it developed, like, a picture for myself, like, in mm-hmm. my head. Because I'm looking at this picture, and then I'm just getting all these little blurbs. Mm-hmm. And I found the comics really... humorous, like in a good way, not like yeah. that they're silly, but that they had a lot of comic relief, and mm-hmm. I loved that.
Yeah, there are fun asides.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that, like the stories here is like interweaving, like it's really cool to see different storylines get together, and like you'd be like, oh hey, like there's Peter Parker, haha, we know who he is, like in her comic. When he's introduced, he's just like, hey, I gotta go. Like, and Mary Jane's like, haha, yeah, that's my friend Peter. And you and me are like, haha, that's Peter.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that, in this, which I think is not necessarily something that could happen in a novel. So that's a really cool thing about comic books. I guess you could do that in TV shows. But to go to failures, I found it difficult... because I think it, because so many people worked on it, and I'm sure we missed so much of it, I feel like there's, like, a loss of character. Like, I can't, I personally didn't come out of it late reading. Like, after reading one of the more recent comics of, like, Ms. Marvel, I was very confused, like, who she was. Like, you know, 1950s Carol Danvers is very like, hi, I'm perfect, and I wear these cute little outfits and these pearls, and, like, I worked in science, and da-da-da, and she's, like, got this thing, and I'm like, okay, I get her. But, like, now, in 2008 or something, I think, is when, like, the second to most recent was, she was, like, very gritty, and she's like, I got all these boyfriends and, like, these slutty outfits. I'm like, who is Carol? Also, when is it? How does time work in these universe? Like, how long? Like, they'll show in that same comic, they were doing flashbacks as to how she got her powers. Mm-hmm. And like,
I thought that was kind of fun though, the way they did it with different art styles,
but like I was just confused of like how time works in this universe. Like, does she not age? Or because it seems to recognize the fact that it was like the 50s then, yeah. And this is now, and she's the same person. It
doesn't age.
Does anyone age?
I mean, they kind of will do these like retoolings every now and then to like adjust for that, but pretty much.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like everything is modern, and every book, like every comic, is like, yeah, now we have cell phones, and yeah. Like, yeah. So it's.
If I have to use one that's probably a more well-known example, like Captain America, was frozen in ice after like his original introduction was during World War II, so he was really like a war propaganda character.
And he was supposed to be real young there.
Yeah. But then they froze him and brought him back in the 60s, so that was only a 20-year time jump. But then they ended up doing that several times throughout his history.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, like, because...
He came back in the 80s, and then...
He's, like, cryogenically frozen, essentially.
Do they freeze him every time?
He's not aging.
They're like, right. We don't need you anymore, Captain. Get in there.
Not exactly.
Hop in the freezer.
We're gonna need you.
They, like, retconned it, so the second time he hadn't gotten woken up in the 60s, he just got woke up in the 80s instead.
And now, when you watch the movie, he got woken up in, like, 2015.
Yeah, 2010.
Oof, I was close.
You were.
Right before the Chitauri invasion in New York.
What about you? Where did this...
Mine was...
How was reading a comics for you?
Similar to Lane. Yours. I found it... I think, though, too, because this is a collection, this problem was a little bit more highlighted for me. But what I was going to say is I found it hard to keep track of the storyline a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what really helped me was actually reading the back of the book.
Yeah.
But I did find it difficult to keep track of what was going on sequentially in the story.
Yeah.
Some of that, I think, is because I'm reading like a collection of this and not each comic as they come out. So I'm not sitting there reading it for 2 weeks, like studying it and then waiting for the next comic to come out. Because that's kind of what comic books essentially are supposed to be, is like you wait for the next issue after you've like really spent a lot of time understanding the current one that you have. So I think that the experience itself was a little bit different than it was like meant to be presented.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really the only thing that I didn't love, was I just had a hard time keeping track of what was going on. And like you said, I had similar, like, what's happening when? Like, where's the time zone in this?
Yeah.
Who fits in where? I don't know, like, if that already happened or, I don't know, just stuff like that.
Yeah. What about you, Pat?
I mean, I agree. I think it was hard to keep track of that. I've read other things, though, and I think that's just, like, a lot of times comics will have these threads where it's, like, shoots back to this other issue that was from 10 years ago or something, or remember, like, when they had this other adventure. So it's always trying to get you to buy other comics to read other storylines, which I think is just indicative of the business of comic book sales. And, like, that's partially why Marvel loves to have all their heroes, like, intermingle, is so that, like, you see Spider-Man show up. Oh, I must know
about this other thing.
Yeah, so then you go, like, start reading all the Spider-Man comics or whatever. So for that reason, I kind of enjoy it, because it's just, like, fun. But I think this is, like, very slapdash. There are only blips of each person's, like, overall story. So, like, I would have liked to have more about, like, modern Carol Danvers. Because, like, in the movie, they focus on her cat a lot and stuff, which I guess is in the comics, but we didn't get any of that in this.
I love the cat.
Yeah.
It's, like, the best part.
And there's only, like, a little bit of Skrull stuff, so it would have been, like, cool to see a little bit more of that. But overall, I enjoyed it. I really liked the Monica Rambeau version because it was so weird.
And random and, like, not really part of this.
And I'm, like, interested to see how they bring that in. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, because she's in the movie. That's the daughter of her friend.
Oh,
her name is Monica.
Gosh.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
Yeah. Which is...
Do you want to talk about how the movie and the thing really...
Yeah. Yeah, let's. That's my next point. Let's talk about the movie. Spoiler alert.
So they kind of end up, like, smashing together the original Marvel's origin story with Carol Danvers's. So, like, instead of, I mean, it is kind of her fighting Yon-Rogg that ends up getting the powers. Like, Mar-Vell is a woman in the movie instead of a man.
And Yon-Rogg is Jude Law. Jude Law is his name.
So in that regard, because I had read this before I saw the movie, like, I was like, oh, I know Yon-Rogg's going to betray her because it's his name.
Oh, bummer. I mean, I guess that's how it works. Okay. Yeah,
We missed the, like, the first manner. 15 minutes of the movie.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. So I saw it with Patrick, and we missed the first 15 minutes. And then I saw it with Lane. I fell asleep for most of it, but the beginning I saw.
Did you get more, like, it's like a fighting sequence,
no,
right?
No. We actually missed a lot. They did, like, a whole intro. We missed a whole bunch. Right. They do a whole intro scene, like, they're on the planet.
Yeah.
And, like, she comes and she knocks on Jude Law's door, and she's like, let's fight. And so, like, she's really positioned as, like, the way that we saw it without this intro,
yeah,
she seemed a lot more, like, hard than, like, in when we got the intro. She's really, like, shown to be someone, like, this was her first
mission,
and, like, okay, she was, like, trying to be on it, and they're like, you're not ready yet, you're not ready, you're too emotional.
Yep. They were like, you can't control your powers yet.
Yeah, okay. And so she's, yeah, like, kind of...
really helpful to know in the
She's
film.
More conflicted, like you see in the back editions of the book.
Yeah.
Right.
She's more trying to prove herself, and she doesn't know how to control her powers yet, and she's trying to convince all these men to, like, let her go on the mission.
Yeah, okay.
Essentially.
And so what we saw, we just saw her being, badass the whole time.
They're flying to that planet right before they...
Oh, before they
find
invade.
Out the Skrulls.
Yeah.
So we missed, like, everything before that.
So all of the character, like...
The complexity of her character
was
missed a little bit.
Yeah.
So then she just, like, shows up on Earth. And I really enjoyed, like... I feel like that line could be really cheesy of, like, you can't know who I am because I don't even know who I am. But I, like, thought it was...
She was, like, very literally.
Yeah.
I don't know who I am.
I felt like that worked.
It
felt like the whole movie was really a good way of honoring all of these different origin stories of the character. And they, like, brought in the Tesseract instead of the... What was it called? The...
I forget her ship, yeah. I forget.
Well, and then I thought something that was really interesting, because, like, this whole issue of, like, you know, Captain Mar-Vell, the original guy, switched sides.
Yeah.
So does Brie Larson's character in the movie, but they add in the extra fact that they're trying to save the Skrulls are actually refugee characters. Mm-hmm. So it, like, kind of brings that to today's, like, you know, universe, zeitgeist, yeah, where, like, we as a country are, like, you know, these evil people trying to come in and save their own lives. How dare they?
Yeah.
And, like, the Skrulls are kind of, like, that sort of character, where Brie Larson's Captain Marvel is, like... And they're sort of
talking about a focus on, like, a war that's going to end all wars. Like, mm-hmm, there's a bigger picture than everyone thinks, yeah, and they're kind of focusing on that.
Yeah, and we're just, like, for some reason, we're trying to murder all these, like... I don't know why the they Skrulls. Were trying think, like, to destroy all the Skrulls.
Like an age-old battle.
Yeah, yeah, and they're just like, we're just trying to like bounce, bro.
It's they talked about a bit in the Guardians of the Galaxy, but like the Kree want
to... I want to rule everything, essentially. Yeah. Like take over as dictators.
Harsh.
The woman, Mar-Vell, is different in this, because they make her like...
It's Walter Lawson is like the... identity that Mar-Vell assumes in the comic.
She's
it's
Wendy.
Wendy Lawson. So it's just gender swap, which also kind of gave it away for me in the movie.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they were like, Lawson, I was like, that's the name of whatever.
The guy. Yeah. But they just made it a woman.
Which is cool. I think that's, like, again, another thing that honors the history of the Mar-Vell character.
Right. And she gets her powers in a different way, right?
That's actually the same thing.
Is it the same?
Yeah, because except she punches the thing
instead of it. Just she happens to be at the place
where it explodes. But in the book, in the movie, Brie Larson shoots thing, and it explodes. Awesome. It's like an engine that powers the Tesseract or something.
It's powered by the Tesseract.
I have I had a professor who was like, "Listen," she said he used the Tesseract and the idea that people don't care about how things work, like she's like, think about it, like what is the Tesseract, what does it do, it doesn't matter, all we know it's powerful,
yeah,
we're all
in like the broader context, but because it's come up so many different times, it like has a very specific purpose in the universe now that like I think Marvel continues to call back to, like it's
the Tesseract
stone that like
we don't know, but we know it's important.
Yeah.
I just remembered right before. Okay, so the last scene in the movie is
the cat.
No. Like at the real movie, the extra scenes.
Okay.
Is that Samuel L. Jackson is he's typing up like the protectors, and then he like looks at a picture of Captain Mar-Vell and like sees that her plane was called the Avenger. And he, like...
he, like, deletes.
He hits backspace a bunch of times and then, like, types something else, but you don't see what he typed. And me and Lane were like, oh, my God. And the movie turned off. And Kaylee leans over. She's like, what did he type? She's like, I want to know what he typed.
And we both look at each other like Avengers, obviously.
That was my favorite part about watching the movie the second time. But the thing is, I sometimes I forget that not everybody, like I feel like I kind of recently learned I was like so nerdy about it, because I think like around I don't know, like the Captain America movies, I was not really like into, so I was like, I'm tired of those movies, and then like I watched one of the more the ones that came after that, and I was like, now I know a lot about it and I care a lot.
I know more than I think I do, and then I'm like, wow, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, and then
it's fun though.
I like it. I like the storylines, and you're like, wait, but this happened.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, you do tend to, if you're into the comic book movies, take it for granted that other people have the same level of interest in these.
And, yeah, interest is the word.
And level of, like, backstory that you've built into your head about, like, what's happening with these characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You become invested.
Yeah.
So, not everyone knows. I also know that from, like, sometimes you and me and Patrick would watch comic book movies with, like, his roommate Alex. And, like, the drive home, like, we're, like, in intense conversations about what just happened. And Alex is like, I don't know, like, yeah. It was a lot of explosions. Like, yeah.
He likes the ones that are, like, more fun, like the Thor Ragnarok movie.
Which is the best one.
But, like, I don't, yeah, Alex isn't in it for, like, the deep mythos of it at all. Which is it's fine. Cool. It's, yeah. Like, good for...
It's where Marvel does so well, because they appeal to the hardcore fan and they appeal to a general audience.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody's happy in the end. We all like explosions. We all like comic relief. We
like explosions.
We all like in-depth characters.
Yeah.
We all like superheroes.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong. And if you do care enough to look into the... Not even care enough. If you are interested enough to look into the backstory, it just makes the story develop even more. And it's fun. It makes it fun to have a conversation about.
Yeah, it does. Especially because you can, like, pick which one of your superheroes is your favorite, and then they show up in all the different movies.
And they're like,
Like, I don't know. Which was your favorite Marvel hero of the bunch?
In this?
In the MCU. In the movies.
I love Spider-Man. I have always loved Spider-Man. But I also really love Hawkeye.
Ooh, stealing Hawkeye.
Okay, Patrick. I've always loved Hawkeye.
Okay. I also really liked the Fantastic Four movies.
Like, really?
Nice.
As a kid, like, I would watch Fantastic Four all the time. All the time.
Like, underrated.
Underrated.
Yeah.
I love the Fantastic Four movies. I also have always loved Spider-Man. That's why I was like, why are they so mean to him? Like, he's a punk, but he's so cute.
I like the Silver Surfer from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty cool. Hawkeye has always been a favorite of mine, just because, like, arrows is a really cool thing to also
have as your weapon.
Yeah, he makes his own arrows. I think Spider-Man's pretty cool. I'd probably say Hawkeye's my favorite of the bunch, especially in the more recent. I like Jeremy Renner a lot.
I do love Jeremy Renner. But I think I might love Jeremy Renner because of this. Because of the Avengers.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a really good comic run of Hawkeye that was, like, right after the Avengers movie came out, like, 2013, 2014, and... It kind of builds off that, like, the New York incident is referenced in the comic, but it's not the, like, he has a family on a farm type deal that they ended up doing in the movies. It's, like, he lives in Queens, New York, and, like, owns an apartment building, and just, like,
cool.
All of his tenants have problems, and he helps them deal with it.
He's, like, a regular dude in New York.
And he also has, like, a protege who's, like, a girl, and she's also Hawkeye, so...
I always wanted Hawkeye and, Black Widow to be together. That I like read. Like... I read some fan fiction about that, and then there was, like, on Tumblr, people would be like, you know who their daughter is? Brave, the girl from Brave. She has red hair and shoots arrows.
Oh my gosh!
Well, they kind of. I mean, in the movies, like, Hawkeye's daughter's name is Natasha.
Oh,
the son's name was Nathan or something. They named the youngest kid that was born in Ultron after Black Widow.
Cute.
And in, like, the Winter Soldier movie, she has, like, a arrow necklace. So that's, like, representing their friendship together.
I'm really hopeful that
they're doing a Black Widow solo movie now, and I'm really hopeful that he features in it heavily.
Yeah.
And that maybe it can fit into that time period of, like, Hawkeye, the early 2000s. Oh, yeah. But have you seen the Avengers Endgame trailer?
Yes, of course. The new one?
He features heavily in it, so...
Stupid haircut, though.
Stupid haircut.
Why does everyone have to have an opinion on this haircut? You just made a choice.
The opinion of the haircut is that it's stupid.
Let the man's hair be!
know. Okay. He probably had nothing to do with it.
I mean, maybe, I understand
like,
that.
I'm not an expert archer. Maybe, like, in Avatar, they say, like, shaving the head gives him more...
Like, they could feel the air.
Feel the air. So maybe having that shave over his ears lets him...
Feel the air more.
Shoot breeze. Arrows better. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a narrative explanation, so let's not shit on the haircut too much yet. yeah, Hawkeye. He's a cool guy.
Cool. I'm gonna take another break. So, why is this Captain Marvel? Like, this is Marvel, right? Why did they decide that is this the epitome of the Marvel hero? Like, do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you mean in a literal sense? Or
in a literal sense. Why is this
Captain Marvel? In a literal sense, they had an opportunity to, like, claim the name Captain Marvel. It had originally been in DC. There was a Captain Marvel character, and that's, like, the Shazam movie that's coming out was originally their Captain Marvel. So Marvel Comics wanted to monopolize the Captain Marvel name.
So did they were... Like, a brand, Marvel, and then DC had a character.
So DC started first with, like, Superman and Batman in, like, the 1920s, 1930s. Mm-hmm. And then in the 40s was when Marvel started as, like, a competing comic book.
Did Marvel, the character, exist before then?
Captain Marvel, or Captain Marvel, didn't exist until the 60s.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the DC world, before Marvel was made.
He... Like their Shazam Captain Marvel character, I think, was only maybe around for 5 or 10 years before.
So I wonder why they picked the Marvel as the name.
I think it just sounds cool. Marvel. Marvelous.
Okay.
It probably had nothing to do with DC necessarily, because Marvel is like a general word.
Yeah. And also, Marvel Comics wasn't originally called Marvel Comics. It was Action called? Comics for a long time.
It's dumb.
Interesting.
I'm only saying that because Marvel's cooler.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then, aside from that, why did they make this character? Like, what about... Why would they make the... what's the word for something being named after you? Eponymous. The eponymous character... The character is an alien.
To give him
it's an
name.
Alien, yeah. So it's not even like all. I feel like a lot of the characters are very like all American, and like, you know, they're representative of like, you know, the hero and all of us, and we are soldiers and we fight for our country. And then here's like an alien, like in a literal sense.
Yeah.
So why is that? Our eponymous.
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 I mean, character. I don't know that there's much of a better reason than the fact that they wanted to capitalize on the name, and then they were like, oh, this is a way of broadening the story of the Kree. I mean, like, in that first book, it's literally like there was this Sentinel that in this other comic book story was said to have come from the Kree, but that was it. That was all they had fleshed out at that. And that seems to be a lot of Marvel's strategy about, like, laying out pieces of things that can be picked up later on in other stories. So
it gives them endless opportunities
to
develop.
Yeah, exactly. So they, like, just took that Sentinel story and are like, that's going to be the beginning of this other character. And then, I mean, it seems like it's taking aspects of, like, other characters that probably exist. I mean, Superman is another alien-type character that came to Earth and decides to stick around.
Maybe they needed something different than the classic human all-American approach.
Yeah.
They're just trying something new.
Yeah, the 60s, I mean, that was when Doctor Strange first came around, so they were starting to get really weird with all of the comics. Have you read much of the, like, original run?
No.
It's super fun. I'll show you later on my phone, because I have it. Super, like, psychedelic, like, awesome. Acid trip.
Why are there so many Marvel... I mean, I guess... Like, there's a bunch of Spider-Mans I know that, right?
Well, I don't think that this character has ever been super popular. Yeah. And so I think that they've been able to reboot it several times to try and kind of capture the times in a way where, like, Spider-Man, I mean, they do that occasionally, but they never do it in as many drastic ways. I mean,
isn't he always Peter Parker?
No, sometimes it's Miles Morales.
The more recent ones, and there's Spider-Gwen. Okay. I mean, they've, like, done this and whole thing.
Spider-Girl, too, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the movie Into the Spider-Verse?
No.
I loved it a lot. It was
really good. It was pretty good.
It was really good.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess I can see why. I mean, like, I could see that it's not a very popular character. It's not somebody that I've heard of at all before the movies came out.
Yeah.
And, but, like, Captain Marvel seems to be quite important, and in the comics, isn't it revealed that he's the one who, oh my god, I love these movies so much. He's the one in the comics that destroys
Thanos.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know,
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. This is what this movie is coming up to be about.
Yeah.
I think, true, he's just like an older comic, and they're bringing it back, and all of this. The Marvel Universe that we see in these popular movies right now aren't including, like, this ancient history of Marvel becoming, like, this character that sticks around Earth. And I think maybe, like, we're just getting a taste of this now, like, that history of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, in the same way. I mean, I think this has a lot longer of a history of the character to build on, too. Like, the Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is another character that wasn't very well known that kind of came onto the scene recently with the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only been around since, like, the early 2000s, I think. So they don't have nearly as long of a history to try and, like, court stuff from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'm interested to see what they continue to do with it. I felt like watching this movie, they did do a pretty good job of, like, stealing all of the relevant stuff from original Captain Marvel's story and Carol Danvers' story. Like, they even kept the amnesia stuff pretty well.
So yeah.
They did.
It was, like,
she did not
all
know.
There.
That's cute.
And even, like, wrapped in history of the MCU itself with, like, Coulson and...
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun part of the movie. But, you know, for someone like Kaylee, who did not know what was going on, she was like, who are these people?
Because we got all excited at the end. We were like, oh my god, he wrote Avengers. Like, ah, you know.
And who she? But she was like, even like,
she doesn't see any of these movies.
I don't know. She said she was like, I saw, like, I like the one with, like, the green girl, and she, like, dies, and I'm like, so the most recent Avengers? She's like, no. And it's like, yeah, like, that's the one. She's like, there's a raccoon, and she's like, mm-mm. I'm like,
yeah, we were like, so Guardians of the Galaxy, the one with the raccoon? She's like, no.
And she's like, but isn't he, like, isn't Samuel L. Jackson, like, a superhero, too? And, like, you know what she thought she was talking about? Was Glass.
Oh my god.
She was talking about Glass. I mean, you know, this is a bunch of nerds making fun of people who don't know nerdy stuff. Like, really, he's just like, oh, she didn't even know.
She didn't even know about this mythical world.
Like, okay, whatever. Super cool.
Yeah.
So she thought it was Glass.
I mean, it's the same actor, so at least she got that.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm recognizing.
So, why do you think they included the comics that they did? So, like, the points that they hit in this comic book are, like, Captain Marvel comes to Earth. Carol Danvers turns into Captain Marvel, or becomes a hero. Captain Marvel dies. Captain Marvel shows up, doesn't do anything. That's it. That they only have shielding.
Captain Marvel.
She showed up, and then, you know, Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel takes Captain Marvel's name.
Yeah.
So, like, that's.
I think it's like the highlights of the Marvel Captain Marvel character over time.
And the general evolution of how it kind of, like, came to be.
Yeah.
And, like, all the modern ones, like, seem to feature notes from the history of the character too, so there's flashbacks, which, like, so you don't get the full how Carol Danvers became Miss Marvel's story, but you got, like, a glimpse of it in this other, more modern
And they tell version. You kind of what to reference if you want to go back and look at, mm-hmm. you know, if you feel like being that nerdy.
Yeah.
So it seemed like they tried to do, like, some chunks of certain plot lines, like the Secret Invasion. You got, like, 3 issues of that. You got, like, 3 issues of the first Captain Marvel. And then, like, the big highlight was his death, which gave you, like, all the intricacies of his whole plot.
And what's his name? Rick James.
And all the heroes come to visit him, which is kind of cool. Like, they all show up when you're dead.
Okay, well, I think it's time to wrap it up. Do you guys have anything else you need to say about Marvel? No. Okay. I'm taking that. I'm going to do, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to do some quick questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Who's the best Captain Marvel?
Of the three?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Carol Danvers the most because I think she's, like, the most interesting of them. But I really thought that the Monica Rambeau story was just so weird and fun that I enjoyed that a lot as an entry. Mm-hmm. But I gotta think I say Carol Danvers.
I agree. Although I did really like Mar-Vell in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I thought he was kind of like a complex character. But I really like the idea of this, like... I said like too many times. I really
I can edit it out.
Enjoy her complexity as a character. Mm-hmm. And that she's a female superhero that's sort of this badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like her character.
This is about the next movie, the trailer of which we have all seen. We all know that all the characters are coming back to life. The ones that are dead, like, that disappeared, they're coming back because they have, you know, there's Spider-Man movies coming out. The trailer's already out for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they announced, you know, like, a Loki TV show.
Yeah, like, they're fine. But who is dying for real in Endgame?
It just seems like they probably... I mean, they're bringing the whole original Avengers crew back together, so... Like, I don't think... I think they could kill Captain America off, mostly.
Iron Man.
And Iron Man. I don't think they'll kill Iron Man off. I think he'll get back to Earth with Pepper. I think Captain America will die.
Captain America doesn't have anyone, like, to live for. Interest. Yeah.
And Thor seems like they've reestablished him as, like, a new character. So they can, like, do more
just
stories.
Just developing his time.
Thor.
Yeah. I don't know, you're right, Captain America or Iron Man, but Iron Man does have a love interest, so...
They'll keep him with Pepper and her weird powers. She got weird powers, right?
She
fell into a fire.
Oh, yeah, she did end up getting the, like, regeneration powers that they established in Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay.
The, like, regrow your arm when it gets cut off or whatever.
That's a pretty gangster power.
Yeah, but they have not used that at all.
Well, she hasn't been around at all.
That's true.
So, you know, she's just at home, like, cutting off her finger by accident.
Yeah. I think Nebula is probably going to die.
Oh, yeah. Gamora's coming back?
Yeah. There's going to be another Guardians of the Galaxy movie, so unless they just, like, drop the main cast of the current one and decide to follow, like, the Stallone crew from the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, though, I really don't think that they're going to kill anybody off, because, like, I know Falcon and Winter Soldier are teaming up for another TV show. I really hope they don't kill Hawkeye or Black Widow. I mean, and Black Widow's got her own movie coming out, so I don't
think... They're not going to kill her.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to kill Hawkeye, because I think that you and I, are the only people in the world who care about him. And I'm like, oh, cool, Hawkeye died.
I
high-fived
a bartender about Hawkeye one time.
I really loved Hawkeye in the first Avengers when he got... I was, like, in that theater. Like, how old was I? Like, 15? And I was like, look at those blue eyes. He's such a serious man. Like, he's just trying to save the world with no powers. I loved him.
With no powers.
He's just got his arrow and that's it.
That was the
best part of Ultron was, like, him bringing the team together, because he's like, you know... We're all crazy. Yeah. I'm a dude with arrows. That guy's a robot man.
Yeah.
Like, we're all just out here. Get with the picture.
Right. Like, thanks, Hawkeye. Okay. Third question. You find out that the headaches you've been getting lead to you blacking out and turning into a powerful alter ego. Who is it?
Who would my powerful alter ego be? I've said I really enjoy Hawkeye, and I do. That being said, I would like to be the male version of Squirrel Girl, because she's the weirdest superhero, but also amazing and super, like, weird and geeky. So, I would choose that.
That's cool.
Wayne?
I really don't know.
I wouldn't say it has to be a superhero. It could be anyone in the world.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko.
I want to be like Doctor Strange.
That's a good point. That's a good choice.
That's good.
I really like his powers. And I feel like that universe that he's in is really neat.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you? Yeah, you got to answer your own question.
Hold on. Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. Good choice. He's such a sweet kid. It's my first nerd boy.
He's so cute.
All right, so what would you give this out of 5, the collection? I guess.
Out of 5?
Yeah, I suppose yours would probably be the only meaningful score, because Lane and I have never.
We don't know what we're talking about as far as comic books go.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good collection. It was like, I'd say 3.5 or 4 out of 5. Because it is, like, kind of a smattering. It's not, like, anything coherent. You're not going to get, like, So a lot of times they sell them in volumes. Mm-hmm. So and they'll, like, write a whole run of a character. And then you get, like, a volume, which would be, like, 8 issues in one run. And that would all be, like, one storyline. So because that's not this, it's harder to say, like, definitively that this is, like...
good.
Right. But I would say, because of... I wasn't super familiar with Captain Marvel, and I feel a lot more familiar after having read this, so I would say 4 stars out of 5.
Nice.
For introducing me to all of the fun that Captain Marvel has to offer.
Yeah, mine's similar. I was going to say like a 3.
Yeah, I would also say a 3, but yeah. Only because, I don't know. I don't know what a good comic's supposed to look like, but I had a nice time. I was just thrown off by the... I was like, who are these characters? Also, to go back to what I was saying originally, even Captain Marvel, like, his character changes. Because, like, when he first comes, he's just, like, chisel-faced, like, I am here, and I'm going to return to my darling Una one day, and, like, yeah, down.
He kind of gets over her pretty quickly.
He does. He gets a girlfriend. And then in his cancer episode... He's like,
I liked all young, his commentary.
I'm like, I'm a young guy, and I'm like, that, you know, I'm
I never thought I would scrappy. Die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scrappy.
So, yeah. That's a 3 for me. Dog. Sweet. All right. Well, what are you two going to read next?
I mean, do we already do our book recommendations?
Yeah. I mean, you personally, what are you going to read next? Well, sass.
I'm going
to
continue reading my yoga book.
Okay.
I'm actually reading a yoga book as well. I'm going to read the Baba Vagita, which
sweet.
Is...
sweet. That's awesome.
Like a history of...
Yeah, it's one of the sacred texts.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read, while they read sacred texts, I'm going to read 5 Feet Apart. Which will be a movie coming out this month.
I saw the previews. It looks really sweet.
Yeah, starring Cole Sprouse and some other girl.
So. Haley Lou. Who? I don't know what her name is. Haley something.
Haley something.
She was in Split.
Oh, cute. Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on, you guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Had a nice time. Such a blast. And thanks for listening, and keep reading, everybody. Talk to you later. Stop.